Yes, it is. I'm getting more and more comfortable in my jeans and jacket MO than anything else. You know, Sister Edie, when I wore a suit for Raina's wedding, she's like, "You have a suit." Oh, okay. So, when we get on the other side, I'll explain to everybody the flow for those of you who are staying for the workday. So we'll explain that part over there. But let me continue to bring us before the Lord in prayer as we open His Word this morning for a few moments. Oh, Father God, it's just so good to be before You, to know that You are so trustworthy, and as was even prayed, we are in Your hands. We are in Your hands, Lord, and we trust You. We're thankful for all that You're doing here, in and amongst us, and through us, God. Continue to make Your name great, and as we look at Your Word, even this morning, I pray that You would just do what only You can do, Holy Spirit, as You draw us to Yourselves, make Yourself known, reveal Yourself to us in Your precious Word, and we thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, it is very good to be with you all again. I've had a few weeks of reprieve from being up here myself, yet at the same time, I really just want to thank God for His blessing and His provision, in our own body. These last three Sundays, we've been able to receive from three different folks as they have sought and listened, prepared, and then delivered what God has given them to deliver and what He put on their hearts. Last Sunday, we had Pastor Donna reminding us of the memorials that God has to guide us and that mark our life. The week before that, with Pastor Dave, as we thought about and called on God's Holy Spirit and asked Him, fill us. And we saw people, get that download from God, and as we continue to just be blessed with that promise. And then the week before that with Elder Andre, I want to just take a second just to even apologize. I really did mean to invite you up when we prayed just now, and the thought actually while we were praying, I'm like, how did I not ask Andre to come up here? One more time. I said, Pastor, and then while we're praying, I'm like, I just feel bad. So, with all the honor that's due to Andre, and as I set him up when he preached that week, it's just been great to see what God's doing. And he, literally poured out his heart as God had given him a message, and it was just a beautiful, beautiful message that was perfect in its timing and its encouragement that God does have good plans for us, and He sees our hearts when they ache, as we looked at that story of Hannah. And when I saw him moving around up here on the stage, I'm like, he looks good doing that. I go, maybe I'll try that, I thought maybe I'll try that, and I realized, like, this is, now and again, and I keep coming back, and I don't know, maybe it's symbolic of my, coming back to the scripture and the word of the Lord, but just appreciate both Elder Andre and Pastor Dave and Pastor Donna just moving in the gifts and the things that God calls them to do. And I want to encourage all of you, whatever God has gifted you to do, there's ways to exercise it, places to do it. And, we learn and grow together. So looking forward to that. All their messages are on the website if you want to listen to them again or download them, as well as Dr. Leon from Monday or Tuesday. For those of you who are here, we had a wonderful time. I'd really especially encourage you, if you didn't hear Tuesday's message, to go online and listen to that as well. Just really great stuff about the balance of the encounters with God, because sometimes we hear people tell these stories and you're like, it's not like that for me. And you're wondering, is there anything wrong with you? I'm telling you, there's nothing wrong with you. And Dr. Leon really encouraged us in that, as well as our place in the church and the things that we can do. So, like I said, I'm looking forward to going in and out. I'm back. Should I check batteries maybe? Yeah. Take a quick pause on. Fine. Nope, there we are. Okay, if it happens too much more, I'll go to the hand mic. But Technology, when it works great, it is great. When it doesn't, you go crazy. But, so as I was just saying, just appreciating the gifts that we have, the other gifts in the body. I mean, we have people here that come and do work every week. You know, whether they're cleaning up inside, outside, just using their gifts. I don't want to mention anybody to not miss anybody, but even had some brothers recently say, hey, I'm looking to do something else, and can I come do this? Can I come power wash? You know, and Brother Lou gets out there and starts power washing, and there's just loads of things that people have done, and today's an opportunity where we're just going to enjoy each other's company and make some more progress on some things that we wanted to get done, and just leverage the fact that we have you know, a lot of folks that are willing to do that, and we're all a part of this body that God's called us to, and we all have different abilities and ways that we can bless each other and serve each other. So looking forward to all of that continues to do, and we all have, I'll say, things that God's called us to do, and one of the things we'll tie up today's message with is with what's our duty. You know, what are some of the things where we should be doing? And in that, I think God has a couple of things that we can definitely take away. So I am joyfully going to keep us moving through Luke's gospel, okay? Loving Luke, loving where he's at, and the things that God teaches us about himself and about ourselves, and today is no exception. So if you want to click, swipe, turn on, tap, do whatever you need to, or even turn in your paper Bible to Luke 17, we are going to read the first 10 verses of Luke 17. Okay, I'm reading out of the ESV, so. And he said to his disciples, temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea than he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in the day and turns to you seven times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you have had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Will any one of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and recline at the table? Will he not rather say to him, prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. So this is Jesus' teaching, right? We're back looking in Luke here, our doctor and historian who's put this orderly account together of the life of Jesus. And, you know, he witnessed. He's a witness, and he spoke to many witnesses. And we know that as this portion that we read is referencing a place and time when Jesus is journeying to Jerusalem for the Passover feast, where the Lamb of God is going to be slain. Right? The ultimate and perfect sacrifice, the last one that will ever be needed, is about to happen. A sacrifice that's so effective that 2,000 years later, its truth still changes lives. It brings dead to life. It brings our dead souls to life. Defeats death, right? We sang about that. And unites anyone who puts their trust in that sacrifice to God, their Father. So it is a incredible path and thing that's going on as Jesus has set his face to go there. And we know there's a lot of people that are traveling with him. And as we've been reading these last couple of chapters, at times he's speaking to the large crowd. Other times he's speaking just to his apostles or the other group of disciples that are following. A lot of times he refers to the religious folks, the Pharisees and the scribes and the lawyers. And today, it looks like he's turning, at least at first, and he's speaking to the disciples. So whether we think it's just the 12 or it's probably the people that have said, you know what, I'm following this guy. I am with him. I'm going to see what's going on. They've seen the teaching. They've heard the authority of the teaching. They've seen the healings. They've seen the deliverances. They know something's going on. They're like, you know what, if God wasn't with you, there's no way this could be happening. And they're starting to realize who he is. And we'll see even today, there are things that Jesus is doing and saying that are acknowledging that he is the Messiah. So as I looked at this portion and read and listened to some other folks and read some commentators on it, and saw some of the applications that were starting to come out of it, I realized that there's five watches. So I'm going to give you five watches today. So they're not Rolexes or whatever else, or you know, but there are things that we can watch. And I titled the message "Watch Yourselves" or "Watch Ourselves." And one of the first things that we see here is that the first watch that we need to have is to watch our step. We need to watch our step. And the question of, you know, why do we need to watch our step is right there in the first verse here. Because temptations will come. Okay? Temptations are going to be there. The word that's used for temptations here, or offense, depending on which Bible you have, is the word scandalon. And it means a stumbling block. So things are going to be there to trip you up. Stuff is going to happen. Matter of fact, if you're reading in an NIV version, you have the phrase, things that cause people to stumble are bound to come. And that's exactly what one of the definitions that we see of that word scandalon is: any person or thing by which one is entrapped or drawn into error or sin. So the first thing that we're seeing in this, even if it's a little bit of by inference, is that stuff is going to be out there to snare us. It's out there. Okay? It is out there. So these temptations are going to come. The Amplified says, you may stumble over snares, traps, enticements to sin. So these things are out there, and we need to watch our step. The men on Wednesdays are discussing sexual purity. And if we're going to be pure sexually, do I need to tell anybody that there's traps out there? Right? I heard the ladies say no. there are so many things out there literally lying in wait to capture anybody, man or woman. But the enemy knows, with the way men are visually distracted, that it's an area that he can set some easy traps, especially because women don't see things in the same way. So there's some times that they either think differently, see it differently, and there's these traps that are out there. And men, depending on how much they have made this, what we have learned to call covenant with our eyes, right? We're getting that out of Job. Job made a covenant with his eyes that he would not look on a woman lustfully. Okay? So we're making this covenant with our eyes that if we don't do that and realize that we were bought at a price, I don't have a choice. Okay? As we walk in doing that, we can see some of the snares that are out there. And one of the common things that we've all been saying is that since we've been studying this, we didn't realize how much is out there because we've become numb to it to a degree. And we just accept it. We look at it and we're like, wait a second, that's not good. And it's not about us getting up here and saying, oh, how holy we are, and you know, if you could do this and be like this. But we're making this track and this commitment that says, you know what, I want to be more pure. Okay? I want God. Jesus said, be holy like I'm holy, like your Father's holy. So we want to move in that. And we know, though, that there's these traps, right? It's in 1 Peter that we read that we need to be sober-minded and watchful because our adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. So we're learning that we must be intentional and willfully engaged in this battle. That's why the material that we're using is called Every Man's Battle. And some of the things that we talked about this week, there were literally combat and warfare-type terms that we're looking at as we do this. And we know that it's our desire to be pure, yet the world laughs, right? The world scoffs, says, oh, come on, you know. And even I'll say men in church, in the church, and in general, say, oh, come on, you know, it's just the way we're wired. Right? It's just the way we're wired. Don't go crazy. Yeah, you shouldn't be, you know, taking it to this degree and that degree. But when you start to say, well, what's pure then? You know, and where? And where do you draw those lines? And I said, the world ultimately is out there saying, you know what, well, there's not even a God. I mean, what are you worried about? You're not going to have to give an account. Really? Really? You're going to have to give an account. Okay? I think it's in both Psalms 14 and 53 that start out by telling us that it's the fool that says in his heart, there is no God. So we won't get into that, but you know, we need to watch our step. So secondly, you need to watch our influence, or watch your influence. Regardless of how aware of it or not, the decisions that we make are not independent. They're not in this vacuum. It's not like they don't impact or affect anybody else. Matter of fact, it's in Romans 14, we're told that we don't even live or die to ourselves. Again, the world's message is very different here. The world's message is, you know what? Be true to yourself. be true to yourself. You know what? Just be your real person. That's all that's important. And it actually is morphed from Shakespeare in one of his in Hamlet, where he said, that's where the actual phrase "to thine own self be true." And so the modern version of it is, hey, you know what? Just be true to yourself. And that's now become this celebration of really an anything goes, self-absorbed expression. You know what? Whatever you want, it's who you are. Go ahead and do it. And without being judgmental about it, you don't have to look any further than the cover of Vanity Fair for this month. For those who are familiar and not familiar, Caitlyn Jenner is on the cover of Vanity Fair, formerly Bruce Jenner, Olympic gold medal decathlete. Okay? And the media and the world are applauding her, his courage to be true to herself, true to himself. And I mean, I really don't say it in a judgmental way. It's heavy-hearted and sad to think that whatever choices he's made over these last decades, entertained and spurred and brought him to this point. You know, there's a sadness to it, but my concern is how much, the message of the world is, oh, look, this is good. You know, just be true to yourself. If you would just, not realizing that the heart, my scripture says the heart's deceitfully wicked above all. Who can know it? It's why we need to transform how we think, and it's why we do this. We love him. We love anybody who wrestles with anything that's potentially harmful to them. We're not, we're not making the judgment on them, and, as long as the Lord tarries, any of us have the opportunity to repent and to turn to the Lord. My concern is that when we're not aware of it, we then may create some of the influences or the things that we just accept or passively, turn the other eye to or not really pay attention to. And in doing so, we can contribute to creating a culture where God's not honored, or worse than that, that your influence may cause somebody else to sin or stumble. And this is something that the church has wrestled with for a long time. Like, where in your freedom are you allowed to do ABC, and where in your love and respect for your brothers and sisters might you choose not to? Even if you know it's not going to impact your salvation, it may or may not impact your closeness with the Lord. Okay? And we know that there is great freedom. And where sin abounds, grace abounds more, but it's not so that we can sin. Right? Paul wrestled with that in Romans. Right? But what my point here about watching our influence is realizing that, we all are influencing people. So whether it be the media at large that's influencing, or whether it's the things that we do or don't do, even in our own homes, the way we speak or don't speak, the way we, show love towards one another. And that's where it's toughest, to be honest. It's toughest in your own home where, to a degree, your awareness is down on how you're being perceived. Throw a neighbor in the house and all of a sudden, you're much more aware of how the words come out. And I'm embarrassed by my own words or my own attitude sometimes, or the tone that I hear coming out of myself going, if somebody else was standing here, I wouldn't have said it that way, or I would have at least been more aware. How does that happen? And if I'm really just even thinking soberly, the Lord is there and he's taping the whole thing, Thankfully, when I say I'm sorry and I repent, he hits erase and it's gone. Okay? Laura doesn't always have that luxury, because then she can play it over in her head, and I'm like, okay, I need to apologize again, take whatever steps I need to move forward. But some of you might remember the comedian in the 60s and 70s, Flip Wilson. He had that expression, "The devil made me do it," right? No, he didn't. No, he didn't. We make choices. Okay, we make choices, and God holds each of us accountable for our own actions. That's absolutely true. But the warning here, and it's a strict warning. It's a strict warning from Jesus. Whoa, watch out if you're causing somebody else to sin. If you're creating something that contributes to their separation from God or them making poor choices, they're going to pay according to what they've been revealed, what they're accountable for before God. But the analogy here, the fact that it would be better, rather than cause someone else to sin, it would be better if you had a rock around your neck and were thrown in the ocean. That would actually be a better thing than what this is causing. Yeah, that's what I said, as I started to kind of come to that, go, wait a second. He's really saying it would be better if you were dead than if you did this. That would be better. I mean, without doubt, there are some folks that are in the line of Jesus' words or his sayings here, that that include the Pharisees. We see them everywhere. And it was in Matthew 23 that he said to them, you know, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You travel across sea and land to make a single proselyte. And when he becomes a proselyte, you make him twice as much a child of hell as yourselves. Woo! Hello. The influence that they were having was not good. You know, we've often heard, and I can't say I hear it that much anymore because we all know that it's really not a wise thing, but for parents to tell their children, do what I tell you, not what I do. You know, do what I say, not what I do. You know, we know that that duplistic life is not right, never mind the potential for outright hypocrisy. But what we allow or don't allow implicitly by our lifestyle and our choices and our behavior, or what we think is behind a closed door, is why Jesus has given us such a strong warning. You know, the millstone around your neck thing, there's other references in the scripture to that. Jesus used it several times. There was a Matthew 18 reference, and again in Mark. It's a very similar warning. And in Matthew, he had actually taken a little child to himself. And that's when he said, you know, if anyone causes one of these little ones to stumble. And he's referring definitely to a child there. And we don't know for certain whether he maybe have been referencing a child in this portion. In Mark, it seems like he's referring to people who are new in the faith, newly following the Lord, someone who causes them to stumble. And we know that when you first come to faith in the Lord and everything is just new and alive, real quickly, the enemy tries to snatch that away. And he doesn't want to see it become fruitful. But, you know, regardless of exactly who Jesus is referring to in our Luke portion, the truth remains that it would be better off for us to not be than to cause someone else to stumble. In those other portions, that's where he actually says, you know what, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Foot, cut it off. It's not because if you were, you know, blind, lame, crippled, that you're therefore now holy. The point being, you know, right, we'd all look the same, and we'd be holy. It'd be done, right? You know, the point being that these things that might cause us to sin, okay, whatever it is that we're feeding, the things that we're allowing to influence us, that we're then creating that environment, is what Jesus is warning us about. So that's why I said, watch your influence. My third watch, watch your brother. Watch your brother, okay? Leading into this portion about your brother is a very straightforward watch. We see it at the end of verse 3 about taking heed or pay attention to yourselves, which is what we're doing in all five of these watches. We're paying attention. We're watching ourselves. And it really is just a sobering call to look in the mirror. Okay, no matter what we say or no matter what we do, we got to look in the mirror and say, wait a second, how do I measure up to whatever I'm talking about, whatever I'm doing? You know, it's been often said that if you're pointing a finger at somebody, there's three of them pointing back at you. So, you know, before it starts wagging, you know, at least look in the mirror, at least do some self-reflection. And this is very applicable here because Jesus is telling us that, you know, we must forgive our repentant brother. So we must forgive him. So even though we're going to watch him, there may be an opportunity for the word that's here is rebuke. We know that only God knows somebody's heart, right? I say that often. It's very true. There are things that reveal what's going on in our heart, right? And the scriptures talk about some of those things. They're like microscopes into showing us what's in there. One of those is, where's our treasure, right? We're told wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And so where are you investing time, talent, energy, money? There's a good chance that whatever it is where your heart is. Another heart revealer that's more relative to what we're looking at here is our willingness to forgive those who sin against us. Willingness to forgive those who sin against us. I mean, even putting those words together makes me think of the Lord's Prayer, right? Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Right? It was in something that the Lord taught us when the disciples said, you know, how should we pray? If you continue on in Matthew 6, where the Lord's given us that prayer, it's verses 14 and 15 that really nail down the point. And it says there in Matthew 6, 14, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And it's because in your decision to forgive or not forgive, you're revealing what you really believe about your faith in the Lord and whether he is, you know, whether you are asking him for forgiveness and whether you've been repentant or not. You know, it's important that we forgive the repentant brother because it reveals in our heart that we know that we have been forgiven and that we've been forgiven of much. Right? There's that parable in Matthew 18 about the unforgiving servant, right? He had just got forgiven a debt of a certain amount, a very large amount, and he goes after somebody else by the neck because they owed him a fraction of that. Okay? You know, the Lord told us, those who are forgiven much love much. And that's why there's a certain humility that comes with people who sometimes have had, I'll say, you know, horrific lifestyles or just sin that had them entangled for so many years and they get free. And there's a love that flows out of folks like that that it's incomparable. And they just know that God has forgiven and loves them and it changes their life. It changes their life. And the point that I'm looking to drive home here is that, you know, I want to see, you know, all of us have that sort of, that ability to forgive and repent very easily, whether we need to repent from something or whether we need to forgive a brother, that we do it easily. I don't have time to go into all the details about the proper way to rebuke. It's also there in Matthew 18. But suffice it to say that it's not a call to a harsh, you know, ridicule somebody or make sure everybody else knows how bad this person is and what they did. If for no other reason, God shows us it could be for the fact that there's parts of our life that may be just as ugly and just as real. Or if it wasn't for his grace, it could be the very same thing that we're dealing with. And if I can remind you, you know, what leads us to repentance? God's kindness. It's not that he stood up somewhere and shouted out with a microphone, "Let me tell you Tom's sin," and I get so embarrassed that I run to him and say, "Forgive me." You know, it's the fact that while I was a sinner, he died for me. It's that kindness that leads me. So when we have a brother or a sister sin against us, someone in our family, a neighbor, coworker, we have the opportunity to be kind. And there's a place for, like I said, confronting and dealing with and doing it in a godly and honoring way. And like I said, we'll deal with that another time, but it's in Matthew 18 if you do want to do some reading there. So I think all of you know here, too, as we look at the reference in verse 7 about forgiving seven times. I'm sorry, the reference, I'm not sure what verse that was. Four, thank you. Yeah, and if he sins against you seven times, that this reference of seven isn't so that you can keep count, right? It's not like, all right, you're at five, two more, and I don't have to accept your forgiveness anymore. You know, they get to six, like one more, seven, good. You know, now I can go back after him or not worry about it. Matter of fact, it was, you know, not that long before that in a similar portion where, you know, Peter had asked the Lord, how many times should we forgive people? And what was the answer there? It was 70 times 7. And it's not so you can count to 490 and then get a piece of flesh, right? The Lord calls us, you know, to forgive those who've sinned against us. I mean, at this time, the Pharisees were doing a three a day. So they're like, okay, if I forgive somebody three times in a day, that is holy. You know, I am there. So the Lord's saying, well, it's seven. So it's, all right, that's a more than 100% increase. So they're already called to it. But like I said, you know, the Lord is really looking for us to be able to receive anybody and receive and forgive them. And I said, Jesus is telling us that when we are offended, you know, we must forgive. I mean, we just even read recently in some of the chapters before that when somebody really repents, remember the party that goes on in heaven? Right? All of heaven is throwing a party when one person repents. And it does lead us to this question of, you know, what if they don't repent? You know, do I still have to forgive them? You know, or what if, you know, they have something against me? And there's some words in Matthew's gospel again in chapter 5 that tells us, you know, if we're offering a gift and we remember that our brother has something against us, we should leave our gift and be reconciled to our brother and then come back and give our gift. And this is complex. I'm not saying there's an easy answer to how to handle every situation. There's a lot of nuances. There's a lot of things that go on. But I think as we seek God and move closer and press in and say, Lord, give me your mind on this, grace starts to rule. Grace starts to rule. And when you start to realize the power that's in God's grace, okay, I think and I hope that you'll be led to forgive and want to forgive. It's not a question of being right or wrong. It's the fact that your Father has forgiven us, has forgiven you, he's forgiven me, and we can forgive our brothers and sisters. He's forgiven us much. Amen? So let me get to our last couple of watches and tie things up for us. The fourth watch comes to us as the apostles wrestled with the call to be so forgiving, right? The Lord just told them, you know, to forgive seven times. If he repents, you must forgive him. So what's their response? I need more faith. Help me, God. You know, I'm not sure I can deal. I think I need more faith. They're feeling their own lack. And it's really interesting that Jesus doesn't say, you know what, you guys are right. You're going to need more faith. Let me get you some more faith, and then you'll be able to forgive like that. Right? That's not what he says. You know, he basically says, you know what, the amount of faith you have actually has nothing to do with it. Because even if you had microscopic faith, you could do the impossible. Right? That's what that illustration is telling us, the mustard seed and the mulberry tree. You know, I read about, you know, the mustard seed being the smallest seed that a Palestinian farmer would use in that day, and a mulberry bush, its roots could live like 600 years. And yet, that's how a little bit of faith could have that great of an impact. This 10-foot bush could go into the sea. And for all of the ways that we try to apply our faith and stir up our faith and use our faith, I still have yet to see anybody throwing bushes in the water or making mountains move or any of the other things that God says we could do with just a little bit of faith. Okay? Most people want to apply their faith to, you know, bless my finances and faith, I believe it's happening. You know, but it only takes a little bit of faith to see mighty, mighty things happening. And here, Jesus is basically telling them, you don't need more faith. Right? You don't need more faith. It's more what we were referring to previously, that it's, are you going to make this decision that I'm going to forgive my brother? I'm going to forgive my brother. You know, the issue is more about what your faith, or more specifically, who your faith is in, rather than how much faith you do or don't have. So I think a part of what we're seeing here really comes what I'm going to call this last watch, in our fifth watch here, about watching our attitudes. And Jesus went on to talk about this relationship between a servant and his master. And it's a little bit of a difficult challenge to read from our 21st century viewpoint, because, you know, we think of slavery as a bad thing, and slavery the way it was in America was absolutely a bad thing. Having servants in people's homes is something that goes on in other parts of the world even today. And today, you know, I mean, in the United States to a degree, but we don't use those same words. We definitely don't use words like slavery when we're talking about, you know, somebody. Well, maybe some of you do at work. I am a slave to this place, you know, and you feel that way. But when it comes to the relationships that we have in loving and serving each other, it's not quite the same. Yet, part of what Jesus is kind of telling us in this portion is that our attitude needs to be right. Our attitude needs to be right in that everything is a gift from him. And being his servant is just, it's a blessing. It's a blessing to be obedient. The men, again, we were talking about this desire or this strive to just choose to be obedient. Okay? When a parent tells their child something, they expect them to listen. They just expect them to. Okay? Yet the Lord has said things for our good that he expects us to listen to. And in our sinfulness, in our rebellion, we're like, I think I know better. Okay? We just somehow mess around with that. When it comes down to it, you know, the fact that even our next breath exists comes from the Lord. I think that's in Job. Right, I find that scripture in Job. I think it was maybe Job 10 or Job 12. Job 12, 10. In his hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. Right, remember in Genesis how God breathed into man and made him a living being? And I think any of us, when we come to those different points in our life when our health has got a challenge, and you realize, wow, it's temporary. Time's short. Right, my earth suit's got an expiration date. All right, so I want to be ready. I exchange this mortal for immortality because Jesus bought that for us. And so here, you know, in this portion where he's talking about, you know, what is just really our duty, and our duty in being obedient. It's not that Jesus was being harsh here and saying, you know what, you know, you just need to do what you need to do. But he's lovingly telling us that when we choose to do what we need to do and do it in the right way, you know, we create an environment. We create a flow from God that's glorious. It's a glorious thing. And, you know, when I even was looking at this, and I'm thinking, the watch your attitude. You hear a mother somewhere going, watch your attitude, young man. You know, don't use that tone with me. And, you know, when I look at it and apply it a little bit to here, I just realize that, you know, to walk humbly before God, right? A humble, contrite spirit the Lord will not despise. In no way will he cast out anybody who humbly comes to him. Okay? So walking with God, honoring God, these are things that he has called us to do, allows us to do, and they make us alive, and they fill us, and you find out what you were made for. Amen? Amen. So let me close this out. We had five watches. You're going to watch your step, okay, because temptations are there. Sins are there. They're easily going to ensnare us if we don't watch out. We want to watch our influence, knowing that at any point in time, we may be creating some sort of degree of influence that might cause someone else to stumble, and that's serious. We can watch our brother. Okay? We can help them if they need help, but more than anything, we can forgive them when they repent and ask for forgiveness. And we want to watch our faith, okay? Ensuring that our faith is in what the Lord's calling us to, and we watch our attitudes. So, praise God. This is God's word to us this morning. Look forward to all he's going to continue to do and teach and show us. I'm going to close us in a prayer and invite those of you who have the opportunity to come to the other side. We're going to cut some cake and enjoy each other's company for a little while before we change clothes and do whatever is necessary for those who can stay and work a little bit. But God continues to graciously take care of all of our needs. And if you came today and there's anything that you want prayer for, if you're, you know, I'll say life with God, so to speak, isn't where you know it needs to be, give us the opportunity to pray with you and call out to God and allow him to minister to you. Amen? So if you stand, I'm going to pray and pronounce a blessing over you. Yeah. Father God, in Jesus' name, we say thank you. We say thank you that your patience has drawn us, that you weren't willing that we should perish, but you have called us to repentance. So Lord, we turn to you. Continually turn to you, asking you to fill us, give us everything that we need to walk this life that you've called us to walk, that we really would honor you, that we would be salt and light, that other people would be drawn to who you are, to who you are, not us, not our church, but to who you are. So God, make yourself great in and through us to your glory. And I pronounce this blessing that Moses pronounced when he said, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." And all God's people said, amen. 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 You are blessed and dismissed. And I look forward to talking with some of you on the other side. Amen.